Good morning, church. How are you all today? I missed worshiping with you last Sunday, and so Neil and I will have to switch places. So I know I usually preach on the fourth Sunday, but I was, myself and Tito Lester were sent for a mission last Sunday, and we're back here in Houston, and we're ready to report back to our boss, Tita Fehu Larbal, about the mission. And of course, she'll be reporting back to you. Our overall theme for the year 2017 is the King is coming. And when this King is about to come, we want to make sure that his bride is prepared for his coming. Today we will be talking about faith. We want to make sure that the bride of Jesus Christ has that faith to receive him when he comes back. Unfortunately, not a lot of people have the same kind of faith. This morning we will be talking more about faith, particularly faith in God. Now, I understand that people have different beliefs when it comes to faith. As a matter of fact, you may not believe this, but even the atheists have faith. Their faith is they subscribe to the assumption that there is no God. So basically, they believe in nothing. But that's faith as well, believing on nothing. But for this particular message, for this particular sermon, we will be talking about our faith in God, the Christian faith. And we are dwelling into this sermon series with regards to the book of Hebrews. And as you all know, Pastor Elvin introduced us to this sermon series by explaining to us the perfect and superior King. And then it was followed by Pastor D with the power and authority of God's word. And then with Lester with the blood of Christ, which is very timely because it's Resurrection Sunday, that particular Sunday. And then last week, Neil took us to this beautiful sermon about the immutability of God. You know, when we watch sports events in television, or even if you go to Reliant or the Astrodome during the time of the Rockets, you will see people holding on posters that says "Believe." But the question there is, believe in what, or believe in who? This morning, that's the same poster I'm trying to present to you. Believe. But this time around, I want to be more specific. I want to say, believe in God. So let me set this pulpit right by checking our timepieces. Tita Charing will be giving me about 35 to 40 minutes, and she will be our official timer. And of course, there's a lot of people involved when it comes to worship service such as this. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would allow us to have faith in you. Your word, Father, will be proclaimed this very hour, this very day. And it is our prayer that we receive them in faith. Holy Spirit, this is your pulpit. This is your altar. You take the center stage while I listen to your leading in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is faith? The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, clearly defines what faith is all about. Now, when I was a child, I used to memorize this particular passage of the Bible because it is very essential to our Christian faith. Faith is the essence of things unseen, the substance of things hoped for. But another translation of Hebrews 11, 1 to 2 from the Message says something like this. Faith is the fundamental fact of existence. It is that trust in God. This faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above from the crowd. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, the word assurance or substance came from the Greek word hypostasis. Hupo or hypo meaning, as in the word hypodermic, which means under. Okay, hypodermic means under the skin, right? And stasis or stasis means firm. So, having said that, standing under a guaranteed agreement or foundation. That's what it means when the Bible says something about the essence, the substance, or the assurance. While on the other hand, conviction comes from the Greek word elekos, which means something that was tested and found to be true, or it's something that is based on truth. Now, to give us a better picture of what faith looks like, in a human standpoint, it can be somehow be pictured as an IRS check. You know, after filing your IRS, you get refunds, right? If you pay too much with your tax. And in your mail, if you're not doing electronic filing, you get this check that says United States National Treasury, which means whatever amount is stated in that check, you can take it to the bank and actually get that amount of money stated on that check. That is the same thing with faith. Faith is a guaranteed agreement. Faith is the very foundation of which we believe everything about God. So if that is faith, what faith is not then? Okay? Faith is not a subjective religious feeling apart from the objective truth. You know, I would hear people say that, you know, I have a feeling that I am now a Christian. Being a Christian is not a feeling. Being a Christian is not based on emotions. When we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, I know not all of us go through some dramatic changes or dramatic emotions that we encounter. I've seen some people that when they converted to Jesus Christ during a rally or a crusade, that they come running to the altar professing their faith on this Savior, Jesus Christ. And true enough, their lives have been changed with regards to that. And there are people who just would sit at the corner of the church and just ponder on this truth, but in their hearts, they actually have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But does it change the faith that you have professed or the faith that you have converted into? No, because faith is not a subjective religious feeling. Funny, during our worship, praise and worship singing, you know, there are people who are more expressive, right? Like when we sing happy songs, you know, people would be kind of like, you know, dancing, you know, going through the rhythm and all that, you know. Some people would say Filipinos can't dance. That's why we don't dance in our worship service. But let me remind you, it's not being prohibited in this church. You can dance if that's the way you want to worship this God that we serve. There are emotions when we come to the Lord in praise and worship songs. But it doesn't mean, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, that if you don't raise your hand in praise and worship, that you have less faith. And the same thing, that when you start dancing and singing and, you know, even proclaiming the name of the Lord, it doesn't mean as well that you are more faithful than the rest of the church. There's no way really to gauge that faith. It is between you and our Creator. Doesn't mean that no tears, no faith, or less tears, less faith. Faith remains the same even when the feelings are not there anymore. Because faith is a fact. Faith is true. Faith is not blind faith. It is not the attitude of people who accept something is true, although the evidence is pointing otherwise. It's not, faith is not blind faith. It's not a leap of faith. It's not the same thing in our Filipino culture where we often say, bahala na, right? Well, when people are taking exams and they haven't had the time to review and all that, we say, bahala na. Bahala na. You know, it's like you're giving the results of whatever the test you're taking, you're just submitting it for luck. Like, you know, I'm hoping I would pass the test, you know. That's not faith. When you have the time to prepare for the test and all that, and you didn't, and you're praying that, you know, you would somehow pass the test, you know, that's not faith. That's laziness. And don't put the blame on God when you don't pass the test. You know? Faith is not blind faith. That bahala na attitude, like, you know, what may. You know, it's like saying, I really don't care. You know, some people have this attitude that they accept something that it is true in me, although it's not saying the same thing. The evidence doesn't point there. I have a patient in the hospital that I work. The patient came, and the patient is claiming that the patient is pregnant. You know, I can see, you know, the tummy is distended and all that, you know. So I said, but the evidence is pointing otherwise. You know, the pregnancy test is negative. But the patient is insisting, no, I am pregnant. I can feel the baby moving in my tummy. But I told the patient, you're 65 years old. But the patient is insisting that the patient is indeed pregnant. So finally, I have to confront this patient and with all honesty, told the patient, sir, you're a male. And then he said, then it's a miracle then. Some people could not accept the fact, even though the evidence is pointing otherwise. Clearly, that is not faith. Faith is not blind faith. It's not a leap of faith in the dark. It's not bahala na attitude. Faith is not the same as the power of positive thinking. For those of you who've read the book of Norman Vincent Peale about the power of positive thinking, it's conditioning your mind into believing something that it's going to happen. The book tells us that in the morning when you wake up, before you get out of that bed, you will keep on saying these words, I believe, I believe, I believe, so that it will pump you up into a new day of positive thinking. I like to be with people who are positive thinkers, don't get me wrong. I love working with people who think positively rather than, you know, coming to work like, oh my goodness, another day and all that. I love to work with people who are positive thinkers. But the power of positive thinking is not biblical. You know, it entices you to think that when you believe on something, it's going to happen. It pumps yourself into believing. There was this girl looking into the mirror, you know, saying, I believe I am beautiful. I believe I am beautiful. I believe I'm beautiful. 3 times a day, she would get up and look at the mirror and say, I believe I'm beautiful. I believe I'm beautiful. But then friends would call her Mikey, although her real name is Sarah, because Mikey is short for Maikila Isalabe, because he's growing some mustache in her lips. But she keeps on saying, I believe I'm beautiful. I believe I'm beautiful. We are all beautiful in the eyes of our Maker. Regardless, you don't believe it or not. I may have a hard time convincing you, though, that I am handsome. But that's what I believe. Because I am created in the very image of my God. Now, how do we acquire or build this faith in God? First of all, we need to have knowledge of the faith. A man cannot believe what he does not know. I mean, how are you going to believe something that you don't know? Ignorance and apathy are the curse of today's society. And, you know, people would just not believe that when I say ignorance and apathy are the curse of today's society. I did mention this to, you know, a friend of mine one time, but he just shrugged his shoulders. And he said, I don't care. I don't know. But isn't it right that ignorance and apathy are the curse of today's society? We have to read and understand the Bible so that we know this faith that we're talking about. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to understand the Bible. You know, but the promise is there that the Lord will enlighten us as we read His Word, as we ponder on these truths. We struggle with our faith because we don't know enough. Because if we know enough, then we know where we stand. Isn't that true? Well, isn't that the very reason we cannot stand on certain issues in today's society? Because apparently Christians, some of the Christians here in this world, they don't know where they stand. And that's unfortunate. Our faith is strengthened when we know and understand the character of who we believe in. Try doing a study on the names of God. And I'll tell you, it's going to change your life dramatically. Once you know the different names of God. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Nisi, our flag and banner. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Those are powerful names of God. And once you start knowing that God is called something like Jehovah Shalom, you know, when you go through these life storms, you feel Jehovah Shalom in your heart because you know that our God is Jehovah Shalom. Try doing a study on the attributes of God. I mean, we did one time. It's a book by Nancy Lee DeMoss, I believe. But the attributes of God opened my mind into a different world of who really God is in my life. Because when I learned that God is a loving God, that even though I make mistakes every day, day in and day out, that the Lord will continue to accept me for who I am. That changes everything. The attributes of God. If you don't know something, it would be hard to believe in that thing, right? Let me tell you this. Let me ask you this question. Will you trust your life with a funambulist? What's a funambulist? We don't know, right? So how am I going to say yes to that? So the same thing with our Christian faith. How are you going to trust this person that you don't know because you don't have time to read His Word, His love letter for you? And for some of us, it's easy to say, yes, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ. He's my personal Lord and Savior. But do you really know Jesus Christ? How do we acquire and build this faith? First, we have to have knowledge of faith. Second, we need to approve of this faith. Knowledge is just here in your brain, in your mind. You know, you're accepting these facts about Jesus Christ. But it's different when you approve of them. We have to accept the Bible as the Word of God. The whole book from the beginning till the end. We have to accept that it is the Word of God in our soul as the very truth of the living God. You know, we cannot select passages in the Bible and believe portions of it that suit us. You know, you cannot be telling friends that, you know, I drink cerveza, I drink, you know, tequila, I drink this because, you know, it was Jesus who actually turned water into wine. So, you know, my habit of being an alcoholic is being supported by the Bible. That is not true. That is a lie. We cannot just pick pieces of verses in the Bible that would support our belief. Church, we cannot subscribe to the beliefs or theories that goes against this faith. We cannot accept those beliefs that goes against Christian faith. I hate to say this though, if you're professing you're a Christian and you believe in divorce, then that would put your faith in question. If you're saying that you're a Christian and you believe in abortion, I don't know what to tell you. If we're all saying that we believe in this mighty creator of heaven and earth and we subscribe to the theory of Big Bang, or the world is created according to Sir Charles Darwin, the theory of evolution, well, that would put your faith in question. Because that's not what the Bible says about creation. So think about that. This is not about conservative or liberal thinking. This is neither about being a Republican or a Democrat. Who cares? The Bible was there even before we have Republicans and Democrats, even before we have liberals and conservatives. Am I not right? So if you believe in those beliefs or theories, so I say you come to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to give you that faith to believe on what His Word has to say about those. You know, in Psalm 10:4, let me read that verse to you. Psalm 10, verse 4, it says here, in his pride, in man's pride, the wicked does not seek Him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Or in other translation, it says, man believes there is no God. And I understand there are topics in the Bible that are hard, really hard to comprehend, much so to believe. And it will require faith. You know, topics like Trinity. I'm going to have a hard time explaining Trinity over here. Things like rapture. That would be a tough one. How about predestination? How about the signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ? Man, I'm going to have to go to Bible school to learn all that. That would be really hard for me to just, you know, sit in a corner and read through the book of Revelations. I probably have to go to Tito Bob Sunday School over and over again just to learn all that. That's why we encourage you, church, to join us in our Sunday school, to join Bible study groups all over Houston, so that you would know the faith and approve of this faith. Because those are two different things, knowing and approving of faith. Lastly, for us to acquire or build this faith in God, we have to engage or be married to this faith. This is the chief part of building our faith in God. What do I mean when I say we have to be engaged or we have to be married to this faith? We may acquire knowledge and approve of it, but if we don't engage on it, it is useless. You see, faith requires action. Faith is an active word. It's a verb. As Christians, we are instructed by the Bible to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, going back to that funambulist, have you all Googled or searched what funambulist is? Okay, so funambulist is a tightrope walker. My question earlier was, will you trust your life with a funambulist? Now, you know it's a tightrope walker, right? It's something that is really scary, especially if you're afraid of heights, right? But let me tell you a story about the wheelbarrow. One time, there was this funambulist tied a rope in the Grand Canyon from one end to the other. Ooh, that's a scary thing. I'm just looking at that Grand Canyon. I can barely stand there. But this guy happened to walk from one edge to another on that really tight rope. And people are cheering him. They were like, wow, he's got that great sense of balance, right? And then on his way back, you know, he asked the crowd, do you believe I can actually cross the Grand Canyon this time around walking backwards? And people said, yeah, we believe. Of course, he's really good. He's really good. And he did it. Went backwards, not looking like where he's going to step into. And then on his way back, he asked the people, do you believe that I can actually go back from this side to that side with a wheelbarrow this time? Oh, and people are like, yeah, yes, we believe. Okay, who wants to volunteer? So, you see, church, you have to be engaged with this faith that we have. When Christ tells you to do something, you just cannot agree. Yeah, agree. You have to step into that faith. You have to try and see for yourself that God can actually follow through. Isn't that the same thing with salvation? We know that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are saved. But do we ever see it? No, we don't. We approve of it, but we need to engage with it. We need to anticipate that one day we will be meeting this Maker, the one who truly loves us. Hebrews 11 also tells us about the faith's hall of fame. Stellar people of the Old Testament times, these are successful people by world standard. In the following verses, from verses 4 onwards, it tells us like the MVPs of Christian faith, right? And somehow I wonder, will there ever be a time where I would see my name there when I get to heaven, in that hall of faith, the hall of fame for those people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes I wonder, with the faith that I have right now, you know, I'm not really sure. I mean, it takes a lot of faith, really, to live this Christian life. I'm trying my best to do it day in and day out. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, it's just impossible. So that's my goal in this lifetime, to be included in that hall of fame. But let me just pick some of those favorite characters that I have in the Old Testament, just to go through the hall of fame. Let's take, for instance, Enoch. In verses 5 to 6, it reads, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God has taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. you know, you can start doing stuff that you think would please God, but it takes faith to please God. Now, observe the word before in that verse. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Enoch was not just taken away. He pleased God with his faith in him. There's a qualifier there. That kind of faith that pleases God. Now, do we have that kind of faith that pleases God? You know, is God really pleased with that kind of faith that we have? The kind of faith that pleases God, let me tell you this, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, is that kind of faith during those instances when you look at your palabigasan. You know what's a palabigasan? It's a rice dispenser. And you are feeling the bottom of it. You know, palabigasan or rice dispenser is very important in the Filipino culture. It mirrors the economic status of the family. Probably not here in the States because, you know, not a lot of us eat rice because of our diet and all that. But back home, rice is a staple food. Which means, you know, you can check on their pantry. The last thing that you're going to saw there, that you're going to see there being depleted is the palabigasan or the rice dispenser. When people are moving in from one house to another, you know, it is believed that you have to take your palabigasan or your rice dispenser first, you know, so that you will be prosperous when you transfer to a different house or when you moved into a different house, right? During weddings, we throw rice as the bride and groom comes out of the church, right? Because we believe that, you know, rice is a sign of prosperity. It's a staple food that we have back home. When I was a kid, our palabigasan is a test of our faith in God. Because there are times when I know during the night, my mom would take about several heaps of rice, and when she put that gatang, that tin can, you know, it would hit the bottom of the rice dispenser and it would make a loud noise. And that's when the time I would bend my knees in prayer. Because I know the following day, there may not be enough rice for all of us. The palabigasan mirrors the economic status of a Filipino family. You don't know, church, how many times I would come to that palabigasan and lay my hands on that palabigasan and ask God to produce more rice because we cannot afford to buy some. But all through my lifetime, while I was living back home in the Philippines, I have never seen that rice dispenser empty. And that's a proof of God's faithfulness in my life, in my family, to all of us, that indeed God is our Jehovah Jireh. Is God pleased with our faith? When you look at your bank accounts and you start worrying, you think God is pleased with that? When you or your family is sick and waiting for God's perfect time to heal you, you think God is pleased with the way we say our prayers to Him? When taking a really hard exam and you could not just figure the answer, this is even after you have prepared 2 years for this exam. You spent sleepless nights studying. Is God pleased with our faith when we start worrying about that? Exams are hard. For some reasons, when I was in high school, they keep on looking for this X. We couldn't find that X. And once you find that X, the teacher will ask another question to find Y. I mean, come on. Do not keep on losing X and Y so that we don't have any problem anymore. But you know, when we come to the Lord in prayer, you know, after we've done the best that we can, it comes to a point that results don't even matter anymore, because you know, you trust in a God who knows your future. That type of pain that we want, that we need. When you don't have college funds for your kids, what do? When you do not have 401k or retirement savings, but you know for a fact that God will see you through in your old age, that's the kind of faith. When you're old and alone and feels like nobody cares, even the care bears don't care anymore, and yet you are hopeful of one day seeing the windows and doors of heaven open up for you. That kind of faith. You know, it's sad because nowadays there's a term called Facebook depression. Because when you look at the Facebook, the only thing you see there are the highlight reels of the things that's going on in somebody else's life, right? You know, those postings, they do not show the hard work and the tedious process before the actual success, right? I mean, you know, you see pictures of like food, nice dinner and all that, right? But no one ever knows that that person who actually ordered that food has to work overtime, like two shifts, just to be there. So they can have a fine dining with his girlfriend or something like that. Yeah. So when we look at the Facebook, you know, sometimes we feel that kind of like pinch inside, you know, thinking, oh my goodness, they're able to afford this, they're able to eat that, they're able to go to these places and all that, you know. So they call it Facebook depression. But you know, the thing is with Enoch, it's kind of like the same thing. People would always quote Enoch walk with God. And Enoch was taken by God into a nicer place. But we forgot the part there that says before, right? Remember that preposition? Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. There was a qualifier there. You know, God did not just, you know, come down from heaven and say, hey, you, come with me. No. There was this faith in Enoch that pleased him. That's why he was taken with him. How about the life of Noah? Building an ark without signs of rain? Oh, what an enormous amount of faith. You know, in our modern time, that's countercultural. You know, while everybody's partying, Noah is building an ark. How about Abraham, who was told to go to a land he doesn't know, just to obey what God wants him to happen in the life of his people? Man, these are success stories of faith. You know, from verses 32 to 35, we read, it says there, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, that's not Barack Obama, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. What a success story of those Old Testament people of faith. But it doesn't stop there. The Hall of Fame does not stop there. This is what I call the others. Enoch, Abel, you know, Noah, Abram, Samuel, David, and all those fine-looking characters, you know. These are the people that you can almost invite in a TV show to talk about faith, to talk about success as defined by the world. Because they have a success story. But how about the succeeding passage that describes the opposite of it? In verses 36 to 38, it says, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison, just like Paul and Silas, right? They were stoned, just like Stephen. They were sawed in two. Who's that? Prophet Isaiah? They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. I mean, they don't have no fashion style. Destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These people are not wealthy. These people are not healthy. You know, God did not guarantee all of us a life like a life of the rich and famous, even while we have the greatest and strongest faith in the whole wide world. You see, faith has nothing to do with our circumstances or the way we live, meaning being well off or in poverty, but the way we trusted God. Now, it would be fitting to ask this question then. Am I a man or woman of faith? Now, how do we know we have this faith? How do we know that we are a man and woman of faith? Of course, there are signs and manifestations. And this will be my conclusion. I know you're waiting for that one. Point number one. He that has faith has renounced his own righteousness. Only Jesus is righteous. There's no debate in that. All of us are sinful. Only Jesus is righteous. Christ will have all of us or nothing of us. He must be a whole Savior or none at all. Church, it cannot be Christ, you know, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And on the side, just to make sure that you make it to heaven, you're giving to the poor. You're doing charitable works. You're serving the less fortunate people. It doesn't happen that way. In Jesus Christ alone. I know we all grew up in a Catholic faith. In most of our friends, most of our families grew up in a Catholic faith. But it cannot be Christ and you have Mama Mary on the side. And you'll be praying to St. Peter, St. Jude and all that. No, the Bible does not support that. It's only Christ because he's the only one who is righteous. You know, it cannot even be Christ and First Philippine Baptist Church. You know, you think you're serving here? You're helping out here so that you can make it to heaven? No. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not even being a Baptist or a member of this church. It's not even about your mom and dad being Christians for quite some time. You know, in my desperation, I prayed for my classmates, for my friends who have yet to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There comes a time in my prayer that I say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. Come into their lives, Lord Jesus. Because I know that if you don't, they will go to hell. In my own desperation. But even that would not save them because they have to renounce their own righteousness before the King of Kings, before the Lord of Lords. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. See, faith is the hallway, the corridor. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Who can wash away my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In Christ alone. And that sums it all. Second point. He that has faith will have true obedience. If a man says he has faith but has no works, he is lying. That's what the Bible says in James 1:22. which will be our next sermon series. So I'm giving the segue to Pastor Elvin for the next sermon series that we have in the book of James. If any man declares that he believes in Christ and yet does not lead a holy life, he makes a big mistake. For while we do not trust in good works, we know that faith always begets good works, and not good works begetting faith. Church, faith is the father of holiness. God's blessings are blessings with both hands. In one hand, he gives pardon, but in the other hand, he gives holiness. And no man can have the one unless he has the other. True obedience. And lastly, the third point. He that has faith has a great esteem to the person of Christ. Do you love Christ? Not like Christ, but love Christ. Like really, really love Jesus Christ. Do you love His Word? So how often do you read the Bible? If you love His Word, is this the reason why you wake up in the wee hours of the night or sometimes in the early morning just so you can meet up with Him? You have that yearning to meet up with your personal Savior. Do you love everything about Him? Do you love His people? That's why you come to church. That's why you attend prayer gatherings and all that. Because you love His people, right? Do you love His music? Do you seek to serve Him? And this is one of the hardest questions I have. Will you die for Him? Are you willing to sacrifice your life for this faith when the time comes and it calls for it? You know, these are tough questions to answer. And I don't want to put you in the spot right now. The Bible says to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, while many of us would not be able to answer if we are willing to die for our master, that's a hard question. That's a tough one. Will you at least live for Him? Live for Him. Walk by faith. Trust this God. Because only in knowing, only in approving, only in engaging in this faith that we're able to build this faith for Him. That's the challenge for all of us here this morning. That if we're not able to honestly answer the question, if we are willing to die for the cross, for the cause of Christian faith, at least let's live for Him.